Greetings, people of God. Once again, we're unable to meet in our regular fashion. I'm very grateful for all those that listen to these messages online, some far and some near. I pray that you will be blessed by God's word. We're going to continue looking at some of the stories in Matthew's gospel. And today our title is Come and Be Healed. Our text is Matthew 9, verses 18 through 38. Please listen carefully to God's word. While he was saying this, and the context is there was a question about fasting in verses 14 through 17. So while he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died. But come and put your hand on her, and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then a woman who had been for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This is the word of the Lord. We probably could have a whole sermon just about that last verse. We too should ask the Lord of harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. But I want to talk a little bit about the miracles and especially the healing today. Miracles were not commonplace in Jesus' day. We read the scriptures and we read about Jesus' miracles, and we tend to think that miracles happened every day and all around. But healings and works of power were not the rule among the people of God. They were the exception. So news of Jesus' miracles spread quickly, far and wide. The marveling crowd said, as we just read in verse 33, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." So this is evidence of my comment that miracles were not commonplace in those days. Those who speak as if miracles ought to be routinely expected among God's faithful people do not speak according to the scriptures or even according to many centuries of Christian experience. So we would do well to ask, what was the point and purpose of Jesus' miracles? Surely their purpose was to point to his divinity. Jesus was born only of half human descent, but we proclaim and we know from Scripture that he was fully human and yet fully divine. But he looked more human than divine, according to the Scriptures, according to common sense. So his miracles were, their purpose was to point to his divinity, to draw attention to his divinity and to his ministry. Their point was to declare that Jesus was clothed, and still is, with exceptional power. Power like being able to walk on the lake. Power to calm a storm. But especially in today's reading, power to heal people of various diseases. Those who saw the miracles, of course, had to discern whether that power was divine or demonic, and our text suggests that quite directly. Jesus' own preaching of the gospel of the kingdom revealed his power to be divine. See verse 35. At the very least, Jesus' miracles proclaimed his divinity. God was present in Jesus in an exceptional way. Of course, he is God. He was God. But as I said, he looked human to the crowds, to the people, to everyone who came into contact with him. The one who created heaven and earth and sky and sea and everything in them could, with a word or touch, fix what his enemy had ruined or distorted. The fact that Jesus was God's Son could not be known from his miracles only, however. They did not reveal him as God's suffering servant, as prophesied by Isaiah and other prophets. Jesus' work and mission would be wrongly understood if he were acclaimed only as a miracle worker. That is the most likely reason he charged the two blind men he had healed by touching their eyes, their blind eyes, not to tell anyone in verse 30. Because he certainly was not just a miracle worker, not just a miracle healer. In fact, Jesus' miracles were in effect an invitation for all who are sick to come to him and to be healed. With Jesus, there is healing. That part of the message remains for us to this very day. That may be the important message in our now coronavirus-stricken world. Jesus provides healing then and now and all the time in between. Matthew's account of the healing miracles in the second half of chapter 9 point to a connection between faith and miracles. Some describe this connection with the expression faith healing, and they refer to those who serve as instruments of healing as faith healers. Now, one may question whether these expressions are appropriate. Does faith itself heal? Whose faith? That of the healer or of the healed? And faith in what or in whom heals? Can faith in an idol, faith in a word or a relationship, faith in nature, or faith in some mantra, can these heal? If there is no healing, does that mean that the people involved lacked faith? We can see that faith connects to miracles in different ways. It does not seem likely that the demoniac, the demon-possessed person, came to Jesus because of his faith. He was brought to Jesus by others, others who must have believed in Jesus' power to heal, in verse 32. The ruler was most likely, almost certainly, a man named Jairus, a synagogue ruler, as we learn from both Mark and Luke, telling the same story we read here in this chapter from Matthew. Jairus' daughter had no faith. She was dead, says verse 18. Jesus was moved to come by her father's faith. And on his way there, the woman with the 12 years hemorrhage did come out of faith, the scripture tells us that. Though one may wonder about the character of her faith, perhaps tainted with belief in magical powers of Jesus' clothing. In Mark's version of this story, we learn a bit more about her than Matthew's version. We hear there that she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. That's Mark 5:26. But we should give her credit, even if it sounds magical or mystical. Touching Jesus' clothes released his power and healed her. At once, says Mark 5:30, at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" And to her credit, she knew what happened to her was by the power of Jesus. She came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Now, the two blind men that Jesus met confessed explicitly that they had faith in Jesus' power to help and heal. Their use of the phrase "Son of David" shows that they believed him to be the promised Messiah. They believed the scriptures and somehow knew Jesus had to be the fulfillment of them. They specifically believed in Jesus' ability to heal them when he asked them directly, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. That phrase makes me smile. Do you think they said that in unison? They both said it at the same time, "Yes, Lord." We don't know that for sure, but it still makes me smile. They were then healed by the master and warned, the text says, sternly, "See that no one knows about this." Now, they are apparently not accused of disobedience when their overwhelming joy at being healed results in verse 31, where it says, "But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region." Now, keep in mind, this means that they knew him to be the Messiah. They knew that it was the promised Messiah that healed him. So the message wasn't just of healing, but it was the message of the promised Messiah has come. And that happened to be the context of the power to drive out a demon from a man who had been mute. He hadn't spoken, we don't know how long, but maybe ever, or maybe many, many years. And people hear him speak. It almost seems anticlimactic, but it is the power of God healing those who need him just the same. We come to see that faith itself is not the power that heals. Faith is rather the vehicle that brings the healer and the healed ones together. It can be faith of the sick person, like the hemorrhaging woman and the two blind men. It can be the faith of a third party, Jairus, the father, and the friends. And it is always the faith, the fullness and power of the healer, Jesus, that brings proper help and to the needy, to healing of those who are ill. To maintain that faith as such brings healing would give far too much credit to the power of frail human beings. It is Jesus, the triune God, who heals. God, however, has many imitators. They too seek a following by doing mighty miraculous works. In Revelation 13, 11 through 14, we hear of this, of one of the beasts. It says there, "Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. Well, this is one and only one scriptural evidence that false healers and false spirits abound. This calls for much discernment and prayer. Even the Pharisees were aware of the need for this warning. They, in fact, acknowledged the power of Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, in verse 34. But how wrong they were to identify Jesus and his miracles with the demons. The marveling crowd had more discernment than those spiritual leaders in verse 33. And we too must be wise in looking for the power of God and distinguish it from the power of his enemies. Here in this passage, Matthew is making the point that Jesus is the one. He's the true healer sent from God. We can go to him with the confidence that he is able to help. He responds to the faith of a dead girl's father and gives life. He responds to the faith of a disabled woman and heals her hemorrhage. He responds to the faith of the blind men and blesses them with sight. He responds to the enslavement of a dumb demoniac, dumb meaning he can't speak, and sets him free. Jesus can heal every disease and every sickness, says verse 35. And you know what? The good news today? He will. For all who come to him in faith, he will heal. Now, it's not always with immediate on-the-spot healing. That is something God's children have learned over the ages since the days when this happened. The Son himself had to learn that. Listen to Hebrews 5, verses 5 through 10. It says this, "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him and was designated by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek." That's Hebrews 5, 5 through 10. See, we know that he prayed that the cup of death might pass from him, but it did not pass him by. It was his pain that brought us our salvation. God's ways are higher and wider and deeper than ours. Things are not always as they appear. Sometimes almost upside down in the kingdom of God from the world. Paul, the apostle, had to keep his thorn, a thorn in his flesh, even though he prayed constantly and sincerely to have it removed. We are sadly aware that some do not recover in this life. But we know, we are certain that God will answer. We are certain that we shall be healed. We shall, even in the greatest victory of faith, one day be raised from the dead. That miracle of healing will be awesome. And like all healing, will be in the power and love of Jesus Christ, the great physician, the healer. Of course, many have passed away from this COVID virus. That does not mean that they haven't been healed. God's ways are far higher than our ways. It is my prayer that this COVID virus will call and urge people to turn to and return to God. It is my prayer that you who are listening to this will be strengthened in your faith, that you will trust God more because of this, and certainly not less. I pray that more and more people will be healed, as has happened. Here in Guam, nearly 95% of those who had the COVID virus have recovered. God is healing. God is busy with his healing. And God is also busy working in people's lives to help them know him, help them to turn or return to him, to be filled with faith and healing. and blessing. I pray God's blessing on everyone who's hearing this message. Look to God, the great physician, the healer of all our ills. In one way or another, we need to know, we need to remember and understand that no matter what difficulty comes our way, God wins. Jesus wins. His kingdom wins. And we are with God. We will be healed. We will be safe. We will be blessed in Jesus' name. And in His name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your Son who was obedient to you even all the way to His death. And we thank you that He was also obedient to you in death and when He was raised to life again and now lives forever with you. Thank you that He is the first fruit of all who believe in God, all who believe in Jesus, that we will be raised and many, many, many times we will be healed. And Lord, no matter what happens, we ask that you'll keep our faith in you strong. Help us to share that faith that when you give us opportunity. Help us to be your faithful and obedient servants, whether we're sick or healed. Lord, we ask that you'll bless us and guide us, fill us with your love and your spirit and with your healing. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.